really important topics have you avoided in your marriage or got into and then they blew up and they never got resolved? And where did those topics go? How did they get resolved? Are they stuck somewhere in your mind and your heart or shoved under the rug? What? Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. We're continuing from yesterday, this topic on communication. We know that communication is important. One of our friends wrote the book, Communication is the Key to Marriage, many years ago. And it is. It's a key to marriage. It's a key to not only that, but to business relationships, neighbor relationships, relationship with your kids, being able to communicate, connect, get behind their eyes, understand each other. And so we continue the discussion today on what do you do when you have an important topic, something that's maybe not urgent, but important, that needs to be talked about, and yet it's difficult to get it on the table. What one thing works or helps you? And our comment line is always open to you at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen and Gino on Facebook here today. Thank you for joining us. Jennifer, you ready to go again today as we jump into this? We got some great people who want to join. Let's start with Susan. From Arizona. Susan, what have you learned about this communication thing?
My husband and I are married 22 years. So at night, I know this sounds a little bit like you've heard people say it and you don't really know if it's true or not. But at night, we always have a hash out session from the day. If there's anything that we need to talk about or discuss, we do it before we put our head down.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible clearly says that God's mercies are new every morning. We need to give our spouse a grace period where we say, okay, your mercies are new today as well. I believe that that's scriptural. So that's why my husband and I do not go to bed angry. We rarely fight because we talk about everything every day. We make our marriage a priority. That's it.
Well, hey, listen, it's not only biblical that his mercies are new every morning. It's also true we're not to put our head to bed at night with wrath. If we get rid of it at night, we can experience more of that mercy and grace and freedom in our marriage in the morning like you guys do.
Right. It's not that we solve everything every night, okay? But we're going to at least address it and make sure that we didn't say anything or do anything to one another to cause for us to have problems.
You have some nights, though, where just not quite there.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say I despise him or I'm that angry at him. And even as Christians, we can go to bed really mad. And we don't have promises for tomorrow, right, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
So because we don't have promises for tomorrow, do you really want to go to bed that night and take a chance that your partner may not wake up? And that's the reality. We have no promises. You know, if we wait and wait and wait, it's just, it builds and builds and builds. People ask me all the time, why don't you guys have fights, big blowouts or anything? But if you're talking every day, if you're setting aside time every day for your relationship with another person and you're valuing them, at that point, we go to bed. Trust me, we're like, we're going to solve this now. And we do because we've had 22 years of working it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes practice, but it's been amazing. The best thing I've ever done.
That's good. Thank you, Susan. Don't go to bed. You know, the Bible says that. Don't go to bed with wrath. I don't know about you all, but when I go to bed, if I have something between me and Donna that's, it affects sleep, you know, and even though you feel like you're right, I'm right, doesn't help the sleep. All right. Let me see here. Kay is in Michigan. Hi, Kay. Welcome to the show today. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about this thing of communication?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Well, I've been a widow now for 40 years, but my husband and I've carried over to my children. And when my sons are talking to me, I will quite often say, okay, sweetheart, this is what I'm hearing. Is this what you mean to say? Because that gives them a way to explain what they're thinking and also not putting words into their mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and it works with any relationship.
Give you a secret. That's the 101 counseling class when I went to school way back, long time ago, is you clarify, you listen, you support, you get behind their eyes. And what happens so often, Kay, and you've probably seen this, it's what happens in a communication. Someone starts to say something, you make an assumption immediately in your head what they mean, and then you either react or a wall goes up. But by clarifying, like you're doing, which is basic 101 communication, is this what you mean? Is this what I heard? Or is there something different? It keeps the ball in their court, gives them a chance to own what they've said and clarify it before you take any position on it.
Yes, because sometimes you're saying the same thing, but you're coming from different directions.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. All right. How old are your kids today?
52, 49, and 42, almost 43.
Wow.
They were young when my husband passed away.
Yeah, well, that's. It sounds like you've been doing a great job, and no matter what age our children are, even like yours that are, you know, older, communication matters. It's not just the little ones.
Yes, it does.
It's important.
And it works with anybody.
That's right. Very important.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Kay. Yeah. Appreciate your call.
You have a blessed day.
Hey, what part of Michigan are you listening?
Berrien Springs.
Oh, terrific.
Down by Benton Harbor.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening online?
Well, actually, right now I'm up by Edmore visiting my grandchildren who go to school up here.
Oh, fantastic.
But I live down there.
Well, listen, when you get back down there, you go online to myflr.org or theintentionallife.com. And you can continue to listen to the program and to a lot of helpful encouragement on the radio as well. So thank you, Kay. And I ask that because our newest station in Michigan just went on the air a few weeks ago, 93.1, all across Southeast Michigan, Metro Detroit, basically north of the border there with Ohio, up to south of Flint, over covering all of Ann Arbor and all of Detroit. My hometown, I grew up there. 12 Mile and Woodward, Berkeley. Went to Anderson Junior High School. Is there anybody out there that remembers Anderson Junior High School from Berkeley? Anyway, I got some stories about that place, Jennifer. Talk about communication. Our comment line is we leave it open 24 hours a day for you all to share your story, how you're being intentional, what you're learning at 888-888-1717. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals six verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Yeah, hi, this is Chuck. I've learned one good thing to do when me and my wife are talking through something. It's for me, after she's done, to say, so this is what I hear you saying. Because most of the times, or a lot of times, what I'm hearing is not what she's saying, and vice versa. So it's a good thing to say, well, this is what I hear you saying, so that you both understand what you're trying to get across. God bless. Love you guys.
All right, Chuck, you're a smart man. Let me just add, what Chuck just said is profound. If you and I do that one thing in all of our communication with people, just to say, this is what I heard you say, is that what you meant? We talked about that a moment ago on the call. You add that as a habit in your life when you're having difficult discussions. I don't mean when you're stopping ordering an ice cream cone, okay? We're talking about the things that are a little more significant, maybe in a relationship, you're clarifying something. Airline pilots do this, as I understand it. They get a command and then they repeat back what they heard. I think that's how they do it. to make sure that what is said is what is heard. And making sure that the message got through is not just one way. It's connecting with each other. And this is true in any important relationship, including marriage. It can make a big difference. As we talk about how to communicate in marriage when you have a difficult topic that needs to be addressed. Let's go to Jerry next in New Mexico. Jerry, what's your one thing that's helped you in communication in your marriage?
We say the word grace so that we're reminded to show grace to one another. And it does calm things down and we are able to openly communicate.
So you admit you have hot moments, but you know how to cool it down. Put a little ice cube on that a little bit. Brings the temperature down, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And that one word, just it's a great reminder of the mercy and grace that God has given us.
Mm. Listen, you introduce that word regularly. It's going to make a difference. Communication. We were talking yesterday, Jennifer, about communication. You're a good communicator. I mean, at least we communicate really well here. Do you feel pretty comfortable when you need to confront issues and that kind of thing, or is that hard for you?
With my husband, more so now, and I think in general, I think I'm pretty good at because I don't like dwelling on things. I like to, if there's an issue, I'd like to solve it. If I'm part of the issue, I'd like to see how I can fix things, and make it better and change for the next time. But when it came to my marriage, I thought, because we are very similar personality-wise, I thought we communicated the same way. And we just celebrated our 4-year anniversary. And I think the first 2 years, it really took a lot of learning to get to the point where we're at now. But you have pointed out some communication pointers to help. My communication even better, which I think I'm gonna try. Not just you, but our listeners. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, great advice coming in from our smart people.
Definitely.
We got smart people listening to this radio show,
And they're being intentional.
There you go. That's it. Intentional living, marriage communication in general, these principles work. I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting if all of the people in charge at the national level, worldwide, all the political leaders came to an intentional living workshop on how to communicate, and everybody was willing to listen and clarify and not take an early defensive position and really focus on resolving issues. Come on, wouldn't we as a nation be happy to see people resolving some of the problems that we see in our country today? I mean, we could list them, and then we see people with different positions but unwilling to talk with each other and communicate and come to a solution so problems continue. It's much what happens in a marriage. You get two people. They both take a position. They may be distant. They won't communicate. Maybe there's a silence between them. Maybe there's some open hostility between them. The problem doesn't get resolved. And what happens is the problem continues. Instead of being able to sit down and say, hey, this is a problem. You and I may not agree on how to solve it, but can we compromise? Can we negotiate? Can we come to some agreement on what one thing will help us solve this problem? It might be a communication issue with a teenager. You got to resolve some issues with your kids, maybe an ex-spouse. Maybe you got issues with your finances. I'll tell you what, God's intention is for people in marriage to be able to sit down, talk about these things, and get them resolved. Frankly, for His glory, and I think for your benefit. All right, let's go to Donnie in Arizona. Donnie, appreciate your call. Go right ahead.
So the approach for me and my wife is it's actually how you approach any conversation. So, if the lady before said, about nagging, and nobody is really nagging, what it is, how you approach someone. So, again, my thing is, I'm constantly at my desk working and my wife wants to spend a little bit of time. So her approach to me is not, hey, you're working too hard. You need to get off the computer and you need to come spend time with me. You do this every day. That I would take as her nagging me. But instead, her approach is, honey, I really miss you. Really want to just spend some time, even if it's 20 minutes to watch TV. Do you think you can carve out a couple minutes? That's something that I'm comfortable with. I would want to do it because of her approach to me, and vice versa. If it's something I want to purchase, and my wife, you know, usually financial, it's a huge issue. And between me and my wife, when she says something to me about what I purchase, I would ask her, hey, honey, you know, you think I can purchase this? It's just something I would like to have, you know, not necessarily we need it, but I'd like to have it. And I feel that having that type of approach, rather than saying, hey, you stay home, I work all day, I bring in the money, I should be able to buy this. That's the wrong approach. Yeah.
And I think we get in trouble with the wrong approach.
Exactly. And in doing so, we respect each other. So me and my wife, we'll have little spats here and there, but, and we just go back to the approach. It's how you first verbally said what it was. And that's where the issues, you know, come up, because you can say something semi-hurtful, or I might take it the wrong way, and then it just spreads from there. So if you approach it calmly and with respect, I mean, to this day, my wife bumps into me and she'll say, oh, sorry, honey. And the same thing, you know, I might spill something. Oh, my apologies, honey, I'll pick that up. It's having that type of respect and that approach is what's making our relationship thrive.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, the approach we take in marriage, if you come in hot and heavy and angry, that ain't good in marriage. Coming in soft, open, humble, being willing to realize it may be you're responsible. I've been around long enough in this business of talking to people and helping people that there's always two sides to every story. You know, the Bible says, Jennifer, you've seen that verse. It says, the first person to speak seems right until someone questions them. There's a verse that reminds us that it's easy for us to think we're always right, take our position. But the wisdom of being able to really listen to another person, hear another person, be open to what they have to say is powerful. So the approach is important. Thank you, Donnie. All right, before the break here, let's see Susan from Arizona. Hey, Susan, how long have you been married?
40 years to the same man.
Wow, 40 years in a row. And
praise to God, praise to heaven, to his people at church who have supported us in this. And I just wanted to share one little tidbit that worked for us years ago, more so than currently. But years ago, money was a very sensitive subject, especially with my husband. And so what I learned to do to avoid an argument would be to tell him in the morning as I was kissing him goodbye that I wanted to talk about money in the evening and that I'm not spending anything. I assured him that there was nothing serious that was going on. I just wanted to discuss some things. And it worked out great because by the time he got home, he was able to be ready for that conversation without getting angry or defensive or, you know, combative or whatever. So it worked out really well for us.
The scripture reminds us, you want to experience hope, guard your thinking. We lie to ourselves. In fact, the verse that Matt just shared with us from 1 Timothy 1 says, God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, right? One of the things that we do in our ministry, why your support allows us to do this, why it's so important, is we're challenging a culture today that is being lied to. So wherever people are listening, you all, because of your prayer and your support, you're allowing us to get this kind of a message out that says, hey, listen, focus on the truth, guard your thinking. You can experience hope. And in the lesson, two-part lesson on experiencing hope, I share with you six verses from Scripture that are very proactive, action-oriented, specific things you can do to move in the direction of really not only knowing there's hope, but experiencing it. Maybe you have someone in your life who's a follower of Christ, but feeling discouraged, feeling a little hopeless and lost. This lesson will be something to encourage them. I hope you'll share it with them. All of you who are part of the team, part of our Intentional Living family, you should have received it by now, both video and audio. Those of you who are not part of Intentional Living, come and join us today. We'd love to have you be on the team, allowing us to do what we do every day. Just go to theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon, or during West Coast business hours, you can call 888-888-1717. And boy, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, I was explaining to Stephen The challenge I'm having with my husband and our communication is he picks and chooses what he feels is important to communicate with me. And if it's not important to him, it's just no big deal. And then I might bring something up to him, like, well, she would have communicated that with me. And then he goes on and invalidates the reason for not communicating. It goes back to a lot within our marriage with, I've been helping raise my stepson since he was 4 and he's almost 18. And this past Christmas, he went to his mom's house for a few days after Christmas. He told me he was coming home one day, and then he didn't bother to tell me that he was coming home early, and he just showed up. I asked my husband, why didn't you tell me he was going to go ahead and come home a little earlier? And he didn't feel like there was any need to tell me.
Yeah, there's a problem there, Terry. That's a problem. And I hear your heart. And when we ignore each other in our marriage, or we blow off our spouse when they want to have something they want to talk about, you may not agree on it, but at least talk about it. And that can create real tension and problem in a marriage. I would encourage two things for you, Terry, and for others who struggle with this. One is stay on the topic and don't get diverted into other topics. Because it's easy to start to say, we need to talk about this, here's what I'm feeling, and pretty soon you're talking about. And you could bring it back to the question, well, that's fine. That's another day. But right now, we need to talk about the kids. Secondly, he needs to understand the cost to him, your marriage, intimacy, communication, everything in your marriage as a result of him non-willing or blowing off the fact that it's an issue to you. And it'd be nice, this is where the counseling can help, to get into what is really, what's causing this? Is it just him? Sometimes people are just not good communicators. And they get all flustered and they don't have any other motive than they don't want to talk. On the other hand, there are times where people are holding some grudges, anger, frustration, hurt, and that's the barrier. And that's the issue. Until that infection gets out of the relationship, there's not going to be healing when it comes to communication. And understanding the difference between those two is critical. I hope that helps, Terry. I appreciate you taking time to share with us. All right, Bill, there in Michigan, I appreciate your call. What have you learned about communication?
Biggest thing that we learned this year is validation. We go to our church, we joined a small group, and it was a marriage keeper type group, and we've been going through a series, and they hit home about validating the other's complaints, needs, desires, whatever. Basically, you know, like your caller earlier said, men and women speak differently and hear differently. So, like, if she had an issue and I heard it wrong, it would be like, let me get this straight. You just told me this. And it gives an opportunity to clarify before tensions get high.
Has that helped you guys in your marriage?
Tremendously. Yes, very much so.
Hi, my name is Lois, and I listen every day to you. I am a partner, and we've been married, my husband and I, for 55 years, and I just finished reading a book on marriage, a Christian book, and I listened to Dr. Randy, and I learned more and more that I'm able to put into use, and you think after 55 years that I would know what there is to know, but I don't. I need to have the Holy Spirit show me every day. And he helps me by listening to Dr. Randy, by reading scriptures on marriage, and to just hang in there. We don't get, you know, we have our times where we don't agree with things. And it's like Dr. Randy said, we need to listen to one another. We need to encourage one another to talk to one another, because sometimes it's easier not to talk if you're not going to agree with one another, but that's not so. Thank you. God bless you for all that you do. Bye.
All right. Before I run out of time, looks like Jim, maybe you have a question for me. What's your question, man?
My wife and I were married for 34 and a half years. Mm-hmm. We divorced in June of this year. It was final. And we are right now working on reconciliation. And right now everything is going along real good. We're getting along good. But there's still something in me that says that we shouldn't go beyond this point until we seek out counseling.
I would agree.
We're ruining the marriage in the first place.
Absolutely. Now, in 34 years of marriage, Jim, was there a pattern of being up and down?
Yes, sir. Just for a couple of days, though. I think about twice.
All right. So you've had a couple times where you had to depart, and then all of a sudden, it's kind of like you're back together. But did you ever get to the bottom of what caused you to be apart for a couple of days?
No, sir. That's okay. Our problem.
Yeah. And now it's just the big apart. It's the ultimate, the divorce. Did you initiate it, or did she?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, she did not want it, but she did. She signed the papers anyway because she knew I did.
And why did you want the divorce?
Well, there was no trust, no communication, no intimacy. And I'm not talking about just sex, but intimacy itself was gone. Uh-huh. It just felt my heart had dried up.
All right, so you were...
Felt like there was nothing. We tried to talk about something, and she said, well, if you're going to do that, we might as well get a divorce.
All right. So,
and she had said that before, because mm-hmm. and it's not her, it's just our communication wasn't that good.
I would really encourage you to take the lead in saying to your ex-wife, look, if we're going to have a reconciliation, we're going to have to do it right, and we're going to have to get with a counselor that has experience in dealing with couples and reconciliation, a Christian, preferably, and take it one day at a time and ask God to reveal His will for you guys as you move forward and trust Him.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Is that something that sounds reasonable to you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was thinking along those lines, and I had mentioned it to her, and of course, she's all for it. She's ready.
Yeah.
I mean, she's more than willing to reconcile, and I am too, but I just think we need to take care of the problem that caused the separation in the first place.
Absolutely, Jim. In my experience of working with couples who get the place where you are, they do one of two things, either rush out or rush in. Rush out, meaning I'm out of here, or they rush back in without resolving the issues. And a wise person stops, figures out what the issues are, gets the root, get it out of there, deal with it, and then in the process of forgiveness and reconciliation and so on to rebuild the marriage. I will say this, some of you who are second time around, in other words, you've been divorced and remarried, have some of the most powerful stories. In fact, let's do a show one of these days, Stephen, where we hear people who have been divorced and they got remarried. And what happened in their life? I mean, the joy, the new intimacy, the new life. What was it? That'd be a great show in itself. All right, got to run. Thank you, Jennifer, Stephen, Gino, Facebook friends, everybody. And for my wife, Donna, and myself, I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. Keep communicating for God's glory and your benefit. That's Intentional Living. Have a great day.